Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk. What it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face.
Losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Welcome back to the Hardline. Bob Ramsey, TJ Moe, John Hadley, Matt Rocchio, and your head coach of the St. Louis Pelicans, my friend Travis Ford. Coach, it was so crazy after the game. A lot of us had flights to get. I'm really, really saddened that I didn't get a chance to embrace you. Tell you how excited I was for the team and for you. I just want you to know how much I enjoyed the joy of the dog pile and what you guys accomplished. It was, there's nothing like the emotion of team accomplishment. There's nothing like it.
No, first off, Rammer, I just want to tell you, you were definitely, you and Earl are part of our Team Blue family, no question about it. We wish you could have been there to celebrate with us, but you were definitely there in thought, and you guys are a big, big part of this. You've been with us every single day, and you know everything we've been through, the ups and downs, and we've all gone through it together, and sometimes it makes it that much more sweet.
Yes.
When you experience something special like yesterday. I don't know how smart that dog pile was on my part. I was about 5 seconds into it. I was second guessing, what did I do here? But a little bit sore today, but it was a split minute, well worth it decision. And I just couldn't, I wanted to be in the middle of it with my players and wanted to be right there with them celebrating. And, you know, there's no feeling like it. There's so many emotions from you've just won a big game, you've just won a championship, you're headed to the NCAA tournament. There's a lot of emotions because there's a lot of ramifications from that game of winning a championship type game, and just so proud of our team and the guys and the players who just put so much into winning 4 games in 4 days.
And, you know, maybe to the emotion, because I admit I was I froze for a second when Fred Thatch came out of the pile, because we weren't really closing it out the way we wanted. And
right.
And Caputo got an open look. And then when it was over, a second later, it took me a moment. The weight of the moment sort of hit me like a big wave. It was really remarkable, that those 2 seconds of my life.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite a clinic how we finished the game.
No, maybe not.
We missed 2 front end of 1-on-1s from our best free throw shooter on the team, which I would take him there again today, any day of the week. And then we gave him a lot of shots there at the end. And, you know, early they ran a play and we just lost our man. And then after that, it was just the bounce of the ball. There came. And that's one of the worst things that can happen. There was 14 seconds to go, their ball. They inbounds the ball, and it gets all the way to half court, and it's like 10, 9, 8. And we deflect the ball, and everybody's going after the steal, and we have it. Javon has it in his hands, fumbles it, and now we're not matched up. And, you know, it's just, you know, it was just the perfect for them is kind of how it happened. It wasn't anything on our fault giving up the 3, but I'll tell you what made a big difference is we did run after the shooter and challenge the shot at the very last second, which I thought made a big difference. And, you know, there's no question that seeing that ball bounce off the rim was a relief.
Yeah, so 4-4. I mean, it's really, really hard to do it. As hard as winning any game is, and it's hard. 4-4. In my mind, I had a Billiken fuel meter, you know, the red line, you know, the arrow was at the red line, and was it going to hit very, very bottom? And I think we lasted to the last second of the game. The fuel tank was empty.
Yeah, I think we did put everything we had into it for 4 days. I don't think they ever even thought about fatigue, to be honest with you, Rammer.
Really?
I really don't. It was never really talked about.
Interesting.
It was never mentioned. I think it was, to be honest, it's something, I mean, we as coaches worried about it. We were thinking about how we can continue to keep our guys fresh and motivated and keep pushing them and different things like that. I don't think our guys ever gave it a thought. And I think they were so laser focused, so focused in on the next play and focused in on game plan and scout report and wanting to succeed and wanting to win so bad. I don't think they ever thought about being tired. I really don't.
Coach, TJ Moe here. I'm looking at Tremaine Isabel's last 10 games. He has been spectacular. Almost 21 points a game, almost 5 assists per game, over 4 rebounds per game, and he shot 46% from 3-point range. We've talked a lot of Billikens basketball here with Bob Ramsey this season. What I hadn't heard was Tremaine's side of the story about how he got there. He was on earlier with the Midday Grind with Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne. He was talking about how you recruited him. And how he was going to go somewhere else. You said, yeah, okay. And you called him back about 10 seconds later. He said, Bud, why don't you reconsider this? How has that relationship turned and grown so quickly? And for him to now be the guy leading the charge here with Javon Best into the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think his play of the last 3 weeks is no question a big reason we're experiencing some good success. Tremaine brings us another ball handler with Jordan Goodwin. He's a great complement to Jordan Goodwin. Jordan can, you know, affect the game in so many ways. Jordan can score, he can pass, he can rebound, he can defend, but he does it in a real physical, big-time nature as far as his body is concerned. Tremaine's a guy that's a little bit lower to the ground, is going to use his quickness rather than physicality, and I think those two complement each other. I told Tremaine back in December that he would not be playing his best basketball until February and March. I really believe that because this is such a different way of playing than he's been playing the last 4 years of his career. And he was not with us all summer, and we practiced in the summertime. He really didn't start practicing with our team until probably October. So he was a little bit behind from that standpoint as well. But, yeah, his play of lately has really opened it up for a lot of other guys because not only is he scoring, but he's doing a great job of facilitating as well.
One other thing, and Tremaine was on earlier, as TJ pointed out, and he talked about, I thought it was really interesting, how he gave credit to the staff and the team about how they reacted to having to change the offense when the focus of the team went from five deep with the bigs to being – a guard-oriented offense, and how the adjustment was made and how everybody bought in and how unusual that is. And I think that's a credit to everybody, but it was something you felt like you had to do.
Yeah, no question. You know this, Rammer, as far as, you know, we didn't make a big deal about it at all publicly or
right.
Really to our team. They noticed it, but we had to change gears quite a bit when we lost a big guy inside. Of kind of how we were going to play, and you don't want to make a big deal out of it, so you try to do it as subtly as you can. But there were some fairly drastic changes within how we were going to play compared to how we were playing at that time. And I think it took a little bit of time to adjust, even though we came out 5-0 in the league. Guys' roles were a little bit different than they had been before. So, yeah, I thought our guys did a tremendous job of kind of adjusting on the fly of everybody having a little bit more responsibility within the offense, spreading it out a little bit more and things like that. But we tried to do it as subtly as we could.
Coach, I want to go back to the game that got you guys here, at least the final game yesterday. You guys started 0-for-11 from the field, and it four games in 4 days, you talked about this a little bit, just maybe not quite having the legs. What were you telling the guys? Because it seemed pretty clear. It was coming through the television that, all right, we don't have it today as far as the shots aren't falling. But they weren't about to give up. It was a group of guys who said, okay, we've got to find our way. I think the first shot that went down was a two-footer. What were you preaching to them with about 10 minutes left when you were just getting your first field goal?
Well, first of all, I don't think we hit the rim in the first 8 shots. I think it felt like they were blocking every shot, or we were walking or something, or throwing it away. I don't even know if we ever hit the rim on the first 10 tries. But here's 100% what I told our team. And I was telling them in the timeout, I was telling guys as they were going into the game, as they were sitting to check in, subbing, I was telling guys who were back by me during the free throw line, during that stretch, I told them in the huddle, I thought, this is 100% going to work in our favor. This is great how this game has started. This is perfect. This is 100% perfect. You want them to use up all their momentum, use up all their energy right now. This is great. I was just trying to.
It was the Rocky formula. Perfect. Yeah.
So it was the Rocky formula, 100%. Let them take their shot. And I was telling our guys that this is great. It's going to work in our favor. Just keep playing. This is good. I've seen this 100 times. I kept telling them where teams jump out like this, we'll have our run at some point. And I believed it. I really did. I've seen it, you know, so many times that, especially the way they jumped out on us, you know, especially how they jumped out on us that, hey, you know, if we were just hanging in there, our time will come.
You know, Coach, now as much – oh, one more thing looking back before we look ahead to the NCAA tournament. I'm going to guess that of the numbers – and you look at numbers, but you're not married to them, but you look at the numbers – when you factor in the gravity of the games, to hold a semifinal team to 15 points in the second half and then go to the championship game and hold that team to 17 points in the second half, I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like that.
Yeah, you know, and I think it was great second halves. No question that we played some really special second halves. And this whole season, I think we've been a team of halves, sometimes in the first half, you know. And I thought the one game, I thought Davidson, we were pretty good throughout most of the game, you know, even though we didn't have a huge lead or anything, but I felt we were competing at the level we needed to compete at in order to win. But, you know, what was impressive to me from our guy standpoint was, when you're trying to win four games in 4 days, you really, if you look at it ahead of time, you think, well, I hope we don't have to make a bunch of comebacks. You know, I hope we don't have to come back in the second half, you know, because you got to dig deeper than you've ever dug when you're down 14 and you're down 9.5 and different things like that. And I was just impressed how our guys were just digging really, really deep in order to figure out a way to win a basketball game.
Then looking ahead, NCAA tournament, been there before a number of times in your career. What do you fall back on? Because routines are completely different from what you've been doing all year, and in fact, even different from the conference tournament. Talk a little bit about, preparation for the Billikens moving to Friday's game.
Well, you try to keep your preparation the same as it's always been as far as how you prepare, the film you watch and the practice and everything. What you got to prepare for your guys as far as just the routine sometimes is different as far as all the media responsibilities you have, and you have open practices to the public, different things like that. You prepare them to stay as best you can to enjoy it, but also stay focused on the game in hand and on the game plan. So it's a fine line. You want to prepare the way you've always had, but you also, you know, the routine sometimes is a little bit different.
Hey, Coach John Hadley. Coach John Hadley here. I've been telling Bob all year long I've been impressed with the tenacity of this team. I think in many ways this team plays like its coach used to play. And I've been trying to find parallels, and I guess probably the best that I can see is I remember – being really impressed with what you did at UMass in 2007 with that team. You won some big games on the road. You beat some big teams. And I watched your team play hard, tough, fundamental basketball throughout the course of the year. Is looking back and seeing the way that this team not only battled through adversity during the season, low numbers, if you will, when it comes to depth, is there another team that you think would be similar during your career?
Well, I think, first of all, appreciate it. I think that's a great comparison. And I actually had three or four of those players from that UMass team at the game last night. One of them's on my staff, Chris Lowe. Yeah, you know, you're looking at 2007. We were a team that had lost four starters the year before and a team that won the league. We won the A-10 in, I guess, 2006. And then we were picked preseason, I think 11th or 12th, and end up finishing third in the A-10 and then making it to the finals of the NIT in Madison Square Garden. And a team, I think, came together at the end of the year, no different than this team. We beat the likes of Syracuse for the second time in the Carrier Dome. We had already played them earlier in the year in a non-conference game and beat them in the Carrier Dome. We went back there and won again. I think we're the only team to ever beat Syracuse twice in 1 year in the Carrier Dome. Then we had to beat Alabama, I think, first, then beat Syracuse. Then we had to go beat Florida, the defending national champions, in the first round of the NIT. They were defending national champions. And then in the finals, we played the defending runner-up national champions, Ohio State. Had the six-point lead at halftime, ended up losing it at the end. But the team really rallied around each other. And we went through the year, especially conference play, of using the old people don't believe in us. We're picked 11th, and we used that as a motivating cry. And I think this team bought into that a little bit, but in the opposite direction, that, all right, here we were picked to win the league this year for a lot of different reasons that we didn't end up winning the regular season. But late in the year with about 3 weeks left, I think the guys started saying, hey, people have kind of forgot about us a little bit. You know, maybe we didn't achieve as high as we wanted to in some areas, but we need to get people's attention again and prove to everybody just how good we possibly can be. And they've kind of rallied around each other here in the last month. Even, and Rammer probably attests to this as well, even when heading into the conference tournament, the last 2 weeks, even though we had lost at Dayton, at VCU, at St. Bonaventure, we won big games against Duquesne and George Mason at home. All these games were huge games. Last five games of the year were against the top five teams in the league. I thought we played well in all the games. Every game I thought we played well. Even the ones we lost, I thought we were competing at the level that we needed to compete at. We just got to put together more than 25 minutes, more than 30. If we can just get the 35 minutes of really, really, really high-level competitive basketball, not even about making free throws, not even about making shots, but competing at a high level for 30 minutes to 35 minutes, then I thought good things were happening. It just kind of clicked in the tournament.
Hey, Coach, last thing from me, I want to go back to the celebration. By the way, in my view, sitting on the sideline, I thought the Atlantic 10 did a great job in the postgame celebration and handing out a trophy. I just thought it was really, really a big-time deal there at the Barclays Center. Aside from the dog pile, which we already mentioned, was there a particular moment or a particular player? Was there something that you observed that really sticks with you and will stick with you from that celebration or maybe in the locker room just after?
No, not really. I'll be honest with you. First of all, go back. I would second 100% what you said, and I've mentioned this to the media a lot today and even last night. I thought the A-10 did a terrific job with the tournament first off.
Yeah.
But the post-game ceremony, celebration was as good as I've been a part of. They just did a tremendous job. I guess we were out on the court for over an hour celebrating, cutting nets down, taking pictures, all kinds of things. And it seemed we were probably out there even longer, and it seemed like we were out there 30 minutes. So it was families were all on the court. I mean, everybody, it was just an incredible celebration. But no, you know, everybody, obviously you get a chance, you try to find everybody you can, give them a big, big hug. And, you know, everybody's got different emotions. Everybody's got, one thing I mentioned to our team, the pre-game talk of yesterday's game before we headed out. You know, I just talked to our guys about, hey, guys, here we are, all 20 of us sitting in this locker room right now, coaches, players. We've all come here for – got to this point in this locker room. We got here different ways. We've come from different cities. You've got here from transfers to freshmen to fifth-year guys, you name it. But we all ended up in this locker room right now for this moment, and there's a reason for that. I think there's a reason we're all sitting here. And I carry that to the post game as far as everybody has a motivating factor for why they want to play hard for their team. and why they want to play hard for their brother and their teammate. And I think everybody at the end of the game, they're excited because we won, yes. Because we are going to the NCAA tournament, yes. Because we just won a championship, yes. But they're also excited for other reasons, and they could be different reasons for each individual. And from that standpoint, I was excited for Javon Best for a reason. Mm-hmm. I was excited for Tremaine and Jordan Goodwin, Hassan French back at home, DJ Foreman back at home. You know, you go down the line, and all these guys, you're excited for them for, you know, a lot of different reasons.
Coach Hadley, again, I'll just wrap up by saying thanks. It's been a blast watching your team. I love guys who play hard. I love good fundamental sports, and I really appreciate what I've seen of the Billikens this year and what a great weekend of sports theater it was this weekend. But I do have one important professional question to ask you. Have you ever been at the bottom of one of those dog piles? I mean, at times it's almost got to be scary having that mass on top of you.
I don't think you've seen me up close enough. I'm too small to be on the bottom of that thing, that's for sure. I tell you, I dove on that thing, and it was a split-second decision. I was so excited. And then here comes Hassan French. I mean, you would have thought surely he would have been one of the first ones on there. I wasn't probably thinking that out too well.
Coach, it really has been a marvelous run that the Billikens are on. I want to emphasize that. It's a current run.
That's right. Still going.
And we'll see you on the plane headed to California this week. Looking forward to it. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
That is Travis Ford, head coach of the St. Louis University Billikens, on their way to the NCAA tournament, the last game of the first round, or I guess they technically call it, second round? Then they got the play-in game, so is it the third round? I don't care. It's Friday night. It's the last game of the day on Friday night.
There you go. Hey, Budweiser would like to send you to opening day to see the Cardinals take on the Padres. All throughout March, go to any of the 11 area hotshot sports bar and grill locations and enter to win tickets to opening day, courtesy of Budweiser. Winners will be drawn and announced on March 29th. While you're at Hot Shots, grab some great deals on Bud Family Pites every Tuesday night or Bud Family Pitchers every Saturday night. Really good stuff there from Travis Ford. Thank you for setting that up, Rammer, and thank you for joining us, Coach. I want to get to your text. I'm just going to roll through these. You can laugh and comment as you see fit, but we have about 2 minutes here. So Donald Trump's Russian friend apparently has not listened to the show for very long. He says, guys, let's be professional here and turn your notification sound off during the show. If it's Hadley's phone, I am not surprised. So there you go, John.
You know what?
Yes.
You know what? It's a good day. I get to see the Billikens play on Friday night. I'm in a happy mood. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
314 says, if you do move Shen back to the second line center, it would allow you to move Bozak back out down to the bottom six role. But as Rammer pointed out, I think Bozak and Perron have played really well together. So
I would say that is absolutely true. Look at the numbers.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Oh.
And you know what?
Concise, Hadley.
Having a guy that can play in both zones as your second center is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's a great thing.
Westbrook Wonderboy says Perron, Bozak, Thomas would be an ideal line there.
I like that.
Interesting. Very interesting.
314, I don't necessarily disagree, but Perron has been incredible with O'Reilly. In everybody else's defense, who hasn't? Bingo. There it is. There it is. Miss Janie Shanahan, hashtag Hockey Bob, gave himself that nickname. Donald Trump's Russian friend. Oh, my gosh. A Freddie Bathwater reference by a texter. Cheers. Hockey Bob, only a coward calls a listener out on live radio but does not read the response from the caller texter. I've read every Hockey Bob text all day today. Carlos Danger.
And we're out of time. We can't read them all.
And I'm right now force feeding so that you guys all get on the air.
He's texting War and Peace.
Carlos Danger. It may be weak, but it's true, Slim. He's the one. Westbrook, Wonderboy, back-to-back days. The Bills pumped a three, then leaned into the elevation defender. No call both times. Thoughts, Rammer? We don't have time. Let's talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
When they were trying to get the last one there on Courtney.
Yep.
Somebody said Billiken basketball. That was Injun Joe's K-Bride Magic Man. SSS Hadley, will you be a special guest on my new podcast, Terrier Talk, that only runs this week and will only talk about the Wofford Terriers and OG Fletcher McGee in Cincinnati's gangster McCumberland?
Go Wofford!
Okay. You guys keep rolling. I can't keep up. We got to go. Thank you for the text. By the way, we love your text. It's a huge part of the show now.
I don't love any of you.
Hadley thinks you're all jack wagons, but alas, we have to go. Hey, good news. Paul Goldschmidt, Rock, hit a home run today. So that's a big deal.
And, Ozuna got two hits.
And number five for Tyler O'Neill, leading, I believe, all of spring training. And Ozuna doubled his hit total, tripled it from all of last season.
Bob, he's up over 100. Here he comes.
Webster Groves, Weenie Wiggler. Hadley here. The notification sound is letting Hadley know the hot dog is done. We got to go. Frank and Benny, Large Morning Show in the afternoon coming up next, and the Cam Jansen Show after that. That's a good program. Stick around. See ya.